Marhaba, and welcome to the Matrix Green Pill, where real people connect.
Hello and welcome back to the Matrix Green Pill podcast. I'm Hilmarie Hutchison, and today I am so honored and excited to have India's number one motivational speaker and best-selling author of 16 inspirational books, Priya Kumar, as my guest on the show. Wow. Priya, welcome and thank you so much for joining me today.
Thank you so much, Hilmarie. It's my pleasure to be on your show.
Could you tell our audience a little bit about yourself, your background, where you grew up?
I think people are always curious to know what background would a motivational speaker have. Well, mine has been the ordinary. And motivational speaking started, I think, quite by instinct. It wasn't a planned thing. I was planning to do my MBA and, you know, get a high-flying job. And because I started working very early at the age of 13, I was a great storyteller. You know, when you are teaching kids your age, what more after the study? And I believe in speed. And so I realized that to coax people to something, you have to first motivate them to do that something, whether it's study, whether it's doing a good job or anything. And I think very instinctively and intuitively, every teacher is also a motivational speaker because you have to continually encourage, coax and get people to do what they should and get the results that perhaps you desire or they desire. That was my training. And then I moved at the age of 21 into motivational speaking. I grew up in a little town. It's a very nice town, actually, in India called Chandigarh. I had a very, very normal childhood. Actually, I can't say that because I started working very early. Well, that's been my background. And that's how I became a motivational speaker.
Let's scroll back a bit. At the age of 13, you started to work. What were you doing?
See, I came from a very lower middle class background and we moved from Chandigarh to Bombay and I moved midterm in school and I got a hand-me-down old uniform, an old school uniform, which wasn't to my liking fitting well. I just wanted a new uniform and with my father, there were delays and delays. I think he just felt, you know, you have it. How? Who cares whether you like the fit or not? And you see, you challenge a woman on clothes, she will take action. So I decided to work. And the easiest thing for me to do, because I was a top ranker, was to teach. It came very naturally to me. So I caught hold of one girl in my class and said, I'll teach you. She was going out to learn any which ways. And that's how I started earning. But the mistake I made was I did such a fantastic job with her that I got stuck. I got stuck teaching her for the rest of the term and a lot of other students joined in and so started the journey of a speaker. I taught for 9 years, over 1,900 students. That's how it happened.
Absolutely amazing. First of all, facing a challenge at 13 and saying, well, I'm not accepting this situation. What am I going to do to find a solution? Mommy and daddy wasn't the solution. So you found a solution. I absolutely love that go-getter attitude. And then at the age of 13, realizing that you can mentor someone else. And as you say, in those years at school, you mentored 1,900. I mean, that is absolutely incredible.
Thank you. And I always say, you know, I'm the greatest beneficiary of my work. Like you said, I started mentoring from a very young age and somebody's paying you to set the right example. I've been the greatest beneficiary.
So you then at age 21, you embarked on this path of motivational speaking and writings. What were some of the pivotal moments that shaped your career?
I would say that I was actually helping one of my neighbors called Dr. Patel. So I was about 20 then, and he was 73, and he was my best friend. I was helping him write. So he used to write for a newspaper in India called Ascent. And because I had a typewriter, I was a teacher, he would give me his articles to type and say, Priya, could you type this for me? I would not only type it for him, I would perhaps correct it for him, add some more stuff, then give it back to him. And then one day he said, I can't think of this topic. Do you think you could write something for me from scratch? And just to help him, I did so. And there started my journey as a writer. And I got featured in newspapers. He started to send out my writing without telling me. I realized one thing, that if you help someone get where they want to go, you'll get there too. It's like the guy rowing the boat, taking people across the river, and he delivers them there. But guess what? He's across the river too. So in trying to help him write better, I became a writer. In trying to help my students score well by encouraging them, coaxing them, I became a motivational speaker. That's something, like I said, it happened on the journey of helping people. And that's something that has stayed for me for life. If I want to do something today, all I have to do is catch somebody to help in that field. And in me taking that person to the destination, I get there to stay. So that was pivotal for me.
By helping others, you are helping yourself. You are growing. You are learning from the experience as well. I love that view of things. It's fantastic. One of the books you are known for is your biography of the late Sri O.P. Munjal.
That's correct.
What drew you to his story and how did you approach telling the tale of such a distinguished personality?
You know, he's no more now and I deem myself honored to have witnessed his life, to have spoken to him and to have, you know, tracked his whole journey. My first meeting with the gentleman, and he was a billionaire. He came to receive me at the train station in Ludhiana. A train station is where I would say billionaires don't hang out. But because I came by train, there was no other means to get there at the time he wanted me to. He came to pick me up. That was fantastic that while he's on the clouds, he hasn't lost his foothold on the ground. He's still humble. He's still simple. And he's human. For him, relationships matter. And that for me is real success. It's not that you've made it, been there, done that. And now you're sitting in this glass house and everybody has to come to you. He comes to people. That for me was, you know, like that blue tick mark verified. And I said, I'm going to write about this man. The guy was, I would say, redefining simplicity. And that's how I kept the character and nature of the book. I learned so much in writing about him, the real, true meaning of success. While yes, of course, money is good, impact is good. But who I become in the process, I think that's even greater. And that is the true, I would say, reward of success. Who do you become at the end of it? I benefited the most out of that biography.
You learn so much from talking to somebody of advanced age who has already experienced or had so much success already. And then you can take that away. That's one thing I will say I enjoy about the podcast. I speak to so many successful people and I get so much from them. I'm so inspired by their stories, especially when somebody has passed away. You can think back to your memories, to your experience talking to that person. You're a very relatable person. And I think you showed that at the age of 20, being best friends with Dr. Patel, who was 73 at the time. I mean, incredible. So you can meet people at all different levels and relate to them and help get their story and to then tell their story, which is absolutely remarkable.
Thank you. I think it's the easiest thing to do if we stop being so guarded. Like I tell you, Dr. Patel used to live in my building, but my first encounter with him was he was walking. I saw him walking and I could see him walking towards the lamppost. Oh my God, is he going to bang against the lamppost? And he did. He was so absent-minded and I laughed and he saw me laughing. And he came to talk to me and he said, you know, I was memorizing this song, which I wanted to go back and record. And therefore, you know, I was a little disillusioned. And that's how we became friends because I gave him my Walkman. So this is like donkeys years ago. I gave him my Walkman to record his songs when he went for a walk. That's how we became friends. And I feel sometimes we're so guarded. We don't go up and talk to people. We don't stand up and help. And if we just did that, the most remarkable human beings are arm's length away from us. We think only we're special. Isn't the neighbor even more special? So just being yourself and reaching out, I think, opens the doors to the most brilliant experiences you can imagine.
That's a key tip, I think, is being willing to stretch our arms out to others, helping them, even in a small way. You'd never know what's going to come from that.
Yeah, exactly.
You've been referred to as the Paulo Coelho of India by the French media. How do you feel about such comparisons? And what do you believe are the unique elements you bring to the world of inspirational literature?
It's one of the greatest compliments I could have ever gotten that I was called the Paulo Coelho from India. So that was like really cool. I am a great fan of Paulo Coelho. And I think it's always an honor to be compared to someone bigger than you and somebody you admire. It's a great compliment. I don't know how Paulo Coelho would feel about it. If someone told me that we found someone like you in India, I don't know how he would feel about it. I feel that in a way, we both are on the same path, writing stories that inspire. Because, you know, sometimes words fail when they come in the form of preachery, when they come in the form of commands and orders and you should do this and you should do that. But tell a story and it hits home. And Paulo Coelho does that so beautifully. And I'm just so happy that I have that ability to spin a story and touch somebody's heart and make them think. That's it. I don't want to tell them what to think. I just want to make them think and find their path and find their way. That is something that I love to do, something that I will always do.
That's fantastic. And listen, your work has already touched, what, more than 3 million people. So you certainly have had an impact on many, many people. Your work has involved working with sports personalities, celebrities, corporate leaders, tech giants like Google and Microsoft, financial institutions like HDFC. How do you tailor your motivational strategies to such diverse fields and cultures?
See, while the industries are diverse and different, end of the day is a human being on the job. If he or she is not sorted, if they are not happy, if they are not satisfied, if they are not appreciated, I think the best talent can take the worst turn of their life. And I have found that people are the same. They want the same things. What are they doing the job for? Because they want to be happy. They want a stable relationship. They want to progress. They want to express their potential. They want to be successful and they want to contribute. And if I keep these elements as the base, then of course I can tell stories in their language pertaining to their goals and industry and make it happen. But what I'm trying to say is at the core, we all want the same things. So it's easy. You know, what changes is the context. What changes is the story, but the message, I think broadly, is the same.
I love that. So no matter the role or the person, at the end of the day, we are all human and we want the same things. And that's what you speak to.
Yes.
You've reached a global audience across 50 countries. Have you noticed any universal challenges that individuals face, regardless of their culture or their geographical differences?
Surprisingly, because I have been to so many countries, there was an initial inhibition. Will I be able to relate to people? Will they understand what I'm saying? But I think the language of compassion, the language of love, peace, happiness, success is the same. I have never found, me personally, as a speaker, because it's scary for a speaker, not the audience, is that we all want the same things. The people sitting in India, whether they're in America, they're undergoing the same inhibitions, same fears, same doubts, same, I would say, self-denial or lack of confidence is the same thing. And you just straighten up the person and the world straightens out. There's a story about this little boy struggling with the world map. And his father says, hey, behind it is the face of a man. Just, you know, the man. It was a famous actor. He says, just put the man together and the world will straighten out. The world will come together. And that's how it is. And I have not found a difference. Cultural, yes. I could say things which work in India. That joke may not be valid in the UK. That sensitivity, I think I have developed. Because in India itself, we are such a diverse culture. We have, I don't know how many hundreds of different languages, different, I would say, religious sects, that if you can survive in India, you can survive anywhere in the world. Tolerance is our biggest, I would say, asset. It has worked well for me.
You've actually already learned from a very young age those transferable skills that you were able to carry with you, no matter which country that you went to in the world. For our listeners seeking personal and professional transformation, which is what you're known for, could you maybe share one piece of advice or a mantra that you found to be profoundly impactful in your own life and career?
I tell you, one of the biggest things that people put out as a complaint is life is not fair. I say, turn that around. Life is not fair. It's correct. And it works on both ends, which means life gives you exaggerated results. If you do bad, then the result that you get is exaggerated. And so we say it's not fair. So therefore, if you do good, the result is also exaggerated and we say it's not fair. Let's accept it and turn it around to a point where my goodness comes back to me multi-fold, that I sit and say, hey, that was not fair. I didn't do so much. I didn't work so much. Look at the results that I get or got. The thing is that sometimes there are delays in this comeback, in this settlement. And a delay is not denial. So while the results, or while I would say the pot is brewing, work, wait while you work. And that guarantees the exaggerated results at the end of time. For instance, I would have liked better results with my first book, with my second book. And I kept saying, hey, it's not fair, it's not fair, it's not fair. But I kept working, I kept writing. I didn't wait for my first two books to become a mega, mega runaway success. I kept writing. And eventually when it did, a lot of people say, you were lucky. I wasn't lucky. I banked on the universal law that it's not fair and it will bring it all to me if I continue the good work. So that would be my advice.
I absolutely love that advice. And I love your approach and your view of taking the negative and turning it into a positive. So take that and wow, it's excellent.
Thank you.
Now we've come to the segment of our show where I'll ask you some rapid fire questions, our version of a game show. Are you ready?
Yes, of course.
Who is your favorite author?
Paulo Coelho and J.K. Rowling and Dan Brown as well.
Of the books, now this is a tough question.
Okay.
Of the books you have written, which is your favorite?
That's actually the easiest one. The last one is always my favorite because, you know, that's the story is recent in my head. So Millionaire's Island, that's the last book that I released. And that for now is my favorite.
Oh, excellent. What is your favorite quote?
It's from Oprah, which is, I am enough all by myself. I love that. It sails me through a lot of tough times.
I love that too. Very good. What is your go-to comfort food?
I'm not a foodie. I'm not a food person at all.
What is one thing you do every day, no matter how busy you get?
I play with my dogs. I will not compromise. So I take them for a walk. I play with them. I sit and talk with them no matter what. So, you know, there are times when I'm getting late and I'll take them along instead of leaving. I don't leave things that matter just because I'm on a delay. I'm very clear about what's important for me and I will give it the importance.
Thank you for playing along. That was the end of the game show. Now, before we wrap up, we would like to ask you about your green pill moment. Could you share an inspiring or life-changing experience that you have gone through, your green pill moment?
You know, when I first became a motivational speaker, I had a very big client who hired me, which I'm very grateful for. But I think my talk was so horrendous, you know, when they talk about stage fright and public speaking, that one by one, the audience started to walk out and never came back, you know, about three or four people. And I was like, oh my God. I mean, imagine you have people walking out of your talk. And when the HR manager ushered them back in, they said, you know, we don't want to stay. And it was all at my face. And that day I could have said, okay, I'm not cut out for this. Because you see, it's okay when one person tells you off. But what if 20 people told you off and walked out on your face? So I said, okay, I have some things right, some things to mend. And that was the first and the last time anyone ever walked out of my session. I did not quit. It was very tough. If I would have quit, then I would not be here. Even if I would have quit, it would have still impacted me. It would have, you know, done me worse emotional damage than overcoming it and rectifying it and moving beyond it. So I tell people, when your hardest hit, don't quit. At least move beyond it and then take a decision whether this is right for you or not. That was my green pill moment. To continue.
Wow, what an experience. And thank you so much for sharing such a personal experience with us. And I love the lesson out of that. Even when you're down, even when you're pushed out, to not give up. Because if you push through these difficult times, the results will come. And as you say, even if you don't, the negative impact on your psyche will be with you forever. So the best thing is to get back on that horse and break through that.
Absolutely.
So what did you do different for your next talk that made the difference?
Actually, I studied more. You know, there's something that I realized that I spent a lot of my life putting time, attention and money in self-help courses and books and so on. While that is wonderful, it has an expiry date. Beyond that, you need to get onto skills. You need to get onto business. You need to get onto finances. There are other aspects to make a business run, not just you. There's something beyond you. And that's what I did. I put my head down to study for the next, I think, 5 weeks. I didn't take up any assignment. I just put my head down and made a comeback. And that's something that has helped me till date.
What a fantastic experience for you to have shared with us. Thank you so much. Was there anything that you would like to cover or like to share with our audience that we've not yet discussed?
Well, there is so much. I'm a woman. I get paid to talk. I have a lot to talk. I write stories. I hear stories. My content basket is always full. But it's nice what you're doing, you know, helping people and people listening in. I think conversations like this sometimes spark some interest. So that's nice.
Okay, fine. Excellent. Again, thank you so much for sharing your story. It's absolutely inspiring. I'm so sure our audience is going to enjoy this conversation as much as I have. Before we say goodbye, could you please tell our listeners where they can find and follow you? And we'll also put this in the show notes.
LinkedIn, Instagram, Facebook, YouTube. I am there and I do respond. And of course, there's my website. So anywhere anybody wishes to connect, I would be happy to help.
Excellent. Thank you so much. And again, thank you so much for joining me today. I wish you all the very best and I will definitely be following your journey as well.
Oh, thank you for having me on your show.
If you enjoy our conversations, please like and subscribe. See you next Wednesday.